Turn, please, in our Bibles to the 23rd Psalm. Okay. Psalm number 23, just a devotional thought that is on my mind. Maybe that's not plugged in. I had my glasses, so could be the bulb. Psalm number 23, and we'll take time to read the whole psalm. I'm sure it's known by many, probably memorized, as going through Sunday school. We'll start with the title, Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, that's a delightful psalm. I'm sure it's well known to every person here today. Probably has been many a times when you come into difficulty and you love to read the psalm. It's amazing just if you were to read it for the poetry, because it's very wonderful. And there's a lot of people that have read it for that and enjoyed it from that perspective. But isn't it wonderful to know the shepherd? Get beyond the poetry and get to the person. I find it very interesting that more than likely this is probably David's last psalm. I like Harold Paisley's suggestion that he wrote this at the end of his life as an older man. It's nice to contrast as you go through many of the psalms that David wrote by the Spirit of God and all of the different figures. The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my shelter, exceeding high tower. All of these tremendous figures that impress us with the power and the might of God. Here's what I was enjoying from it. If indeed this is the final psalm of King David, isn't it nice how David, as an older man, reflects upon his life? And of all of the different figures, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. There's something warm about that expression, my shepherd. For those that might want to do just a little more of a study on this, it's wonderful if you were to get yourself a Hebrew Bible. Now, I don't know Hebrew, but I can certainly read those Bibles that have the English right underneath them. And I'm a big believer in Strong's numbers because he helps me to find certain words. If you were to look at the Psalm 23 in our English Bible, we have over about 100 words. They're a little over 100 words. But in the Hebrew language, there's 55 Hebrew words. Now, what's interesting about that is, if you were to find the middle Hebrew word in the Psalm, do you know what it is? Those of us that have a Newberry Bible, you look at verse number 4. For thou. That's the middle word in the Psalm. Thou. It's emphatic in Mr. Newberry's Bible, in the Hebrew language. So isn't it nice when you look just at the structure of the psalm? Right smack in the center. Just God alone. That's nice, linked with the shepherd. Now, if you do a little more of a study on the structure of the psalm, and you were to count three words in from the beginning of the psalm, and then if you were to go to the end of the psalm and count three words in, do you know what the middle, you know what the third word is? The Lord. You got Jehovah at the first, you got Jehovah at the end, and right in the middle, you have Jehovah. Isn't it nice to think about your shepherd and to think of no one else but him? Nothing else but him. You know, what we were touching on this morning, I think every Christian wants to be abounding, superabounding in the work of the Lord. Nobody wants to be a castaway, as Paul would say. And it is very easy to get your eyes off of him. Could I encourage younger people, middle-aged people, older people? Habits. Good habits and bad habits are all created the same way. just takes consistency. Do you know what is a really good habit? You take time to get to know your God. Don't let anything come in and push that out. Take time. Make time. It's not going to be easy. You're not going to be waking up one day and all of a sudden just wonder, oh, I got nothing to do. I guess I'll study the Word of God. You have to make time to get to know Him. And I think it's wonderful, just that simple expression. What a wonderful thing. My shepherd. My shepherd. No one else. Just you and Him. So I could stop and I could ask you, how are you getting along with your shepherd? You know, just it might sound kind of comical, but I don't mean it that way. It's wonderful to go through the psalm and see all of the leading that the shepherd is doing. And if you were driving down the country road in your car, and all of a sudden you stopped and you saw a shepherd and a bunch of sheep, now it would be out of place for the shepherd to be on his elbow talking to the sheep saying, now what would you like to do today? Would you like to go into this part of the field or this part of the field? You would say, that just doesn't happen. The shepherd is the one that's out front. And here are the sheep, and they're just following the shepherd. The shepherd is leading. You're going to get that expression twice. They're slightly different words. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. It's wonderful in the psalm. You know, I think it was touched on last night by our brother, Mr. Colson, in Freetown. We live in such a materialistic, we're very wealthy. And faith almost becomes the secondary because we have so much. And we get so used to making plans because we got the means to implement them. We've got the money to implement them. And it's almost like we make the plans and then we come to God and we say, God, could you just rubber stamp the plan? It's not the way it works. You know what? I have a wicked heart that doesn't want to be led. Doesn't like being led. It wants to take its own road. It wants to do its own thing. And you know what I need? I need help from the Spirit of God. I need humility to know what it is just to simply sit this quiet at His feet and just listen to the shepherd. Just to know His gentle, Scott, I want you to go this way. Awful hard to hear that in such a noisy world. You go back to what Elijah saw in the Old Testament when God tried to recover him. You know, there was the big earthquake and there was the thunder and everything else. What do you get? You get the still small voice. That's where God was. He was in the still small voice. Do you know what you need to practice? You know what you need to habitually do? This is the still small voice. You need to shut yourself off from a busy world. And just take time to settle, as we've been hearing this morning, that steadfast. Just settle down, as it were, in the easy chair at the feet of the Lord. Look up at the shepherd. Just find out what He wants me to do. It's wonderful when you look at the psalm. There's a number of different verbs. Now, I'm going to say a few technical words here, but I don't want you to, you know, just sort of think I'm getting too deep, because I want to keep it very, very simple. There's a number of different words that are found. There's 14 different verbs that are found in Psalm number 23. And those 14 different verbs are going to fall into three different types of verbs. I'm going to give you two that stand in opposition to one another. It's what's known as a participle. Now, that's just simply a verb that ends with ing. Okay? It's something that has been ongoing and it's still ongoing. Wonderful to see in verse number 1, my shepherd. That is an active participle. That's something that is always ongoing. My shepherding one could be the way that we could almost translate it. You want to know the other word? Verse number 5, the other verb? Mine enemies. The enemy is always attacking. Thank God that the shepherd is always shepherding. So just as you look at the psalm, isn't it something to see the two great oppositions? The shepherding one and the enemy one that is always attacking. Wonderful to know the shepherd, isn't it? You know, I could never fight the spiritual battle on my own. I couldn't do it. I need the shepherd. Sometimes when we think we can do it, we get away from this book. And it becomes just pure mechanical. Do you know what that is? That is a guaranteed recipe for disaster. I need the shepherding from this book. There's two more verbs. There are only two, and they're what's called a perfect. That simply means that the verb is complete, and the results are presently right here. Do you know what those two verbs are? Look at verse number 5. Thou anointest. Listen. God could not and cannot bless you any more than He has. The moment of salvation, that simple act of faith that I placed in Him, I received all blessings. It's not that God is holding out and He's slowly bleeding them out to me. This shepherd, do you realize you're a child of God? This is why it's so important to get to know the shepherd, to spend time to get into this book. Nobody cares for you like your shepherd. Nobody has such an earnest desire to see you prosper in your Christian life than the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died for you. That's why it's so important. That's why it has to be the number one thing, is to get to know Him and allow my will to be conformed to His will. You look at the other one, the end of verse number 6, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. I will dwell. That's a perfect. Wonderful to know that I will never be put out of His house. I don't think we're not looking at the assembly here. The assembly, the church is not in the Old Testament. Might be there in picture form. But we're just looking at the presence of God. Isn't it wonderful to know God? In a world that's so full of confusion, so full of voices, and people looking for peace, and they're just, isn't it wonderful just to be with Him? I think it's delightful to know Him. Wonderful. Here's something else now that's very important. There are 10 imperfects. 10 imperfect verbs in the psalm. Simply put, that is something that the action is never coming to an end. It's always ongoing, okay? It's a little different from a participle, but it's just the idea that the result is not complete. I'm going to go over them really quickly. You can go and study them later. Verse number 1, I shall not want. Isn't that something? There will always be, linked with the shepherd, there is never going to come a point in time, there will never be a point in eternity where all of a sudden you will want something else. Do you know what I was thinking in my mind? It's very devotional for the breaking of bread. I was contrasting Psalm 22 with Psalm 23. Listen to the words of the sheep. I shall not want. Listen to the shepherd. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? What a want. What person could measure the longing that was in his heart, the shepherd, when his God turned away and forsook him? He was willing to go through that so that you and I as a sheep will never have a want. Isn't that wonderful to think of that? I was thinking of the next one, verse number 2. This is a verb in the Hebrew. He maketh me to lie down. You realize that He's always making me to lie down. It's the idea of rest. The idea of comfort. He's always seeking my benefit. Isn't it wonderful to have such a book to bring before such a person that is always trying to better my life? You ever sometimes as a Christian read a portion of the Word of God and you think, ooh, that's going to cramp my lifestyle. Ooh, that's going to put me into a bondage. See, that's what the flesh does to us. That's what the world does to us. Think of that lovely verb, He maketh me to lie down. Listen to verse number 2. He leadeth me. Always. He's always out front leading. Always. Never going to stop. Don't ever think that our shepherd is just for time. I hope you don't think that. All throughout the endless ages of eternity, He's always going to be out front leading. He's always going to be my example. I was thinking recently of the words of 1 Corinthians 15. Even the Son Himself will be subject unto the Father. I look at the life of the Lord Jesus on this earth. What an example of submission, eh? Tremendous. Have difficulty with submitting to the Word of God? look at Christ. You want to know something? When time is all gone and we're in eternity, even the Son, what dignity. One that is co-equal in the Godhead. Even the Son Himself will be subject to the Father. Not only my example in time of submission, but throughout the endless ages of eternity, I'll always look to Him for an example of submission. Tremendous thing to think about. Look at verse number 3. He restoreth. There's something else that's just constantly ongoing. He restoreth my soul. Would you like to know, dear child of God, why you confess your sin? It's because He restoreth. That's why. I think that brings me into the lovely office of the advocacy of the Lord Jesus Christ that deals with our sin. You know why I confess my sin? Because it proves to me that the advocate has already been doing His work. If it wasn't for Him coming near, if it wasn't for Him restoring my soul, provoking me, leading me back into His presence, I think it's wonderful to think of that. Look at the next expression in verse 3. He leadeth me. Now that's different from verse number 2. The first one in verse 2 has the idea of general leading. This one here in verse number 3, He leadeth me, has the idea of leading to feed. Has the idea of pasture in mind. Do you realize that there's a shepherd in your life, and wherever He leads, He's trying to lead you to what? Well, look what we read in verse number 2. Green pastures. Isn't it nice that the Spirit of God threw that little word green in there? Not just pastures. Green pastures. Do you know what the Hebrew word is for green? It's the tender new shoot of grass. Not some old grass that's been beaten by the sun and turned brown. You realize what this book is? This is God's tender, green, fresh pasture. Isn't it something? We were coming along the road here this morning, and my wife is big on horses. I don't really care for them, but anyway, she picks up on these things. And there was these horses in this pasture, and there was nothing but dirt in the pasture, and here was this big old bale of old hay from last year. And they were eating it. And she said, "What a shame. These horses are eating last year's hay, and here's all this green grass around us." Isn't it sad to see a Christian that is feeding on the world? Does it not do something to you? There's no joy in that world. There's nothing green in that world. Isn't it sad when a Christian can get into such a state of mind? I have been there, okay? Yeah. You get away from the Lord and you get cold at heart. And you're just chewing on the nub, the old stubble that the world has to offer. And all the while there's such green nourishment linked with the person of Christ. God give us help to know what it is just to meander through that pasture. Look at verse number 4. I walk through. That's another thing that's constant, the shadow of death. Verse 4, I will fear. Always ongoing. I will fear no evil. You know, recently I was visiting a relative of mine. You know, it's humbling when you go to visit somebody and you think there's pride. You think you're going to encourage them. And you end up being so encouraged because you visit them. And she's going through cancer treatment, radiation, and chemo. You know what that dear sister said to me as we sat in her living room with her husband? Now you get this now. It made me feel about that high. She said, "Scott, I would not trade this experience for anything. I am experiencing the love of my God like I've never done before." I just sat there and I said to that dear sister, I said, "You know, I preach about this stuff. And here you are living it." That woman is enjoying the shepherd. From my perspective, what she's going through doesn't look too green. I
question God as to why? Why, God, have you allowed this to happen? And here's a woman being nourished and fed. I'm sitting there like, is there a crack under the door I could crawl out of this house? God, give us help. God, give us help just to get to know the shepherd. Whatever the shepherd allows, wherever the shepherd leads, it's always for my betterment. Wonderful things to think of. No fear. That's wonderful. Look at verse number 4. Thy rod and thy staff. Here it is. Comfort me. You know what's interesting? What do we read in Psalm 22? What was the shepherd willing to go through? He says this, deliver my soul from the sword. What do I have? I have a rod and a staff that bring comfort. Think of that contrast. Always. That staff and that rod always is there for my comfort. Look at verse number 5. Here it is. Thou preparest. That's something that's always ongoing. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I'm indebted to Joe Potter for this. He was by our assembly in Charlottetown, and he made this statement on Psalm 23. You know, you'd have to be an awful good shepherd to be able to have a sheep to settle down and eat in the presence of enemies. I don't know about you, but when I'm under pressure, I don't feel like eating. When I'm at a conference, I don't feel like eating too much either. It's kind of nerve-wracking up here. But listen to this shepherd. This shepherd, in the presence of enemies, he's able to bring comfort to the sheep. And they can see at his table. Now, only Christ can do that. I can get up here and try to whoop you into a hole further, you know, try to send you home all goosebumply. I won't do it. Do you know what you need? You just need to get your eyes locked on the shepherd. Him. Am I speaking to someone here today and maybe you're going through something that nobody else can relate to? You've tried to speak to somebody about it and they just can't seem to connect with you. Could I encourage you to go to your shepherd? Just offload the burden of your heart at his feet and just allow him to prepare the table. You know, I was thinking of the table prepared for the sheep. What was prepared for him in Psalm 22? Well, there was the lash. There was the cross member he had to carry. There were the spikes. Quite a contrast, isn't it? What the shepherd went through so the sheep can enjoy these things. Look at verse number 6. Surely goodness and mercy, here it is, shall follow me all the days of my life. I was thinking in Psalm 22, what followed him? There was an awful crowd that followed him out to that hill, and they cried for his blood. Crucify him! We don't want this man to reign over us! Get rid of him! What's following you and I? Goodness and mercy. You want to know something? It'll never end. All through time, all through eternity, if there's such a word, always there will follow goodness and mercy. So I come back to the very first verse. It's very easy to read. The Lord is my shepherd. How many people are enjoying it? He's my